This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So the Abdul Carter number 56 thing is over. You know, LT said, you know, go get your new number, and make history with that. We know that the number 11 and Phil Simms, that was not going to happen as well. I mean, it's amazing that Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter sat there and were like, oh, man, you're going to go get that 11.
This is damn generation, man. It's like they all think, like, hey, I accomplished something great at Penn State. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet.
You almost went with a D word there. I saw your lips going there.
Just annoys the hell out of me. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet. LT is a great all-time Giant. Phil Simms is a great all-time Giant. And there's a reason why their numbers are retired.
Yeah.
You go get yourself another number, son, and then you make that number famous, just like LT said.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't agree with LT on a lot of things. I agree with LT on this thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think anybody who has made their own name in the NFL would say exactly that. And it's surprising to me that, like, if you want to spin it, well, oh, Abdul Carter's paying homage to the Giants and their greats. Like, I don't see it that way. I mean, maybe he's misunderstanding what this is all about. But isn't that what you want? Did you want to be your own guy? You want to have your number in a ring of honor, your number retired. I want every kid to be wearing your number, not LT's number, because he was great and you want to be great. So,
you know, he showed great affinity for LT prior to the draft,
which was great. Nice.
Which was perfect. That's respect. That's what you want. And then all of a sudden gets hooked into one of these podcasts and decides that, you know, and been led down this path, you know, of which number are you taking? I mean, it's... And then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, I'd love to have number 50. Yeah, yeah, you're not getting 56. You're not getting 11. So stop. You know, get some other number, make some other number what you want. And by the way, I will say that Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and scolded Zach Wilson for the number that he wants to wear in Miami.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, and Ryan's very right. You know, Ryan's obviously a very smart guy, very deep thinking guy. Said, you know, you want to be taken seriously, don't wear that number. You know, don't wear the number. You know, you're trying to get your career back on track. Don't wear zero. It's just not a good look. And he's right.
No, I agree. I mean, I thought they just gave it to him for the number of completions that he's going to have in Denver for the rest of his career. I didn't know if Zach actually chose it himself.
Well, in Miami, yes, I think he did.
I mean, yeah, in Miami, yeah. Nah, zero completions in Denver and now zero in Miami. Yeah, so we'll definitely see if Abdul Carter gets a... I'm excited to see him play right off the bat because these edge rushers are guys that can make an impact week one.
Yes.
We've seen it before.
Not all edge rushers week one.
But they can.
Yes, some can.
It's one of those positions, though.
How did Kayvon Thibodeau
do? No, not so good. But it's one of those positions that guys that when they're great...
It's simple.
Yeah, go
this
get the quarterback.
What you do. Just go get the quarterback. And like Will Campbell said, the tackle out of LSU, he goes, I could block a guy 40 times a game, and he doesn't do anything. But on that 41st time, he sacks and causes a fumble in the fourth quarter, and I'm the villain.
Yeah. Tiny arms, Will Campbell. Short arms. Alligator arms, they say about him.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice kid.
Very nice kid.
Seems like a Vrabel type of player.
Yeah. Why, he likes guys with short arms?
I guess so.
Yeah. But all the Patriots fans are a little bit worried about that. Might have to go to guard with those little baby arms that he's got, like right in here.
Yeah.
Doesn't have, not a big wingspan.
I don't know. I watched a number of his highlights, and he handled a lot of the better pass rushers in college pretty easily.
Well, I hope so. He got drafted in the top five, for God's sakes.
Even with those short arms.
Even with those tiny arms. Mark in New Rochelle. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, baby. I got a question, or it's my opinion. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I'm 60 years old. Is it me, or is Dave Sims trying to establish himself as a premier broadcaster? Is he trying to not duplicate John Sterling? But it seems to me on every play, he's over the top. Am I wrong, or...
Are you listening? So, Mark, are you listening to the games or just listening to the highlights that we play?
Both.
All right, because that's...
I mean, he's good on the play-by-play, but these, like Aaron Judge hits a 900-foot home run. You would think it's game seven, bottom of the ninth, and he wins the World Series. It's just like he's no Bob Costas. He's no Al Michaels. You know what I'm saying? Listen,
well,
he's certainly not John Sterling. But
didn't you think that John, listen, just to defend Dave for a second, did you think John was a little bit over the top at times?
Maybe it's just something that we got used to as fans. I don't know. Maybe it's just giving Dave a break. I like Dave. Don't get me wrong. I like Dave. But it just seems like on everything, it's like Aaron Judge just tripped over the bag and stupid stuff.
Listen, Mark, I don't necessarily agree.
Man.
I like the fact that he's getting excited. There's two things that we had brought up from a criticism standpoint, if you will. One was the hey now just feels weird in New York when Howard Stern did that for a million years. And also, I would like to hear him. He sounds a little too down when the other team does something. Like Howie Rose does that perfectly. When the opponent does something, Howie calls it with an energy where you can tell it's the opponent and he's not excited about it, but he does it with an energy where you're like, okay, he's still calling the game, where Dave sounds morose when the other team does something.
Well, just remember, you know, Dave Sims is 72 years old. He's been around the block. He's not changing for anybody. He's got his certain style.
Yep.
And the hey now has been a part of his style for a long time out in Seattle.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've heard it here. Howard Stern makes a big deal out of it. And, you know, Dave Sims is a professional. So it would be one thing if you were like a 25-year-old and he was trying to cut his teeth and he was trying to get in like some of those guys last year and they were trying to do a little bit of the John Sterling stuff. There's only one John Sterling. And eventually you'll get more and more used to Dave Sims and you won't have, you know, difficulties of trying to figure out what he's doing and how he's doing it, because he's done it this way his entire life.
Yeah, this is just the way that people are going to react to a new voice in there after many, many years of the same guy. And not everybody's going to get used to it as quick. But I don't think that he's over the top with everything. I don't believe that.
And he doesn't hey now every home run.
No, occasionally.
I mean, John Sterling had a tagline for every home run.
Yeah. But it's like, do you think Dave's over the top? Like, but the guy that you had there for a while was over the top, and you liked over the top with him.
The Yankees win! Right, I mean, come on. Jesus.
Let's go to Tom in Merrick. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to get back to the draft real quick.
Yeah.
So as far as the Jets, one of their biggest problems last year was stopping the run, right? We lost all our big boys on the defensive tack, on the defensive line. And in this draft, that was something that, you know, it was like they really need to address that. And the damn Buffalo Bills, three different times, jumped in front of us and took three big boys.
I know. It's really unbelievable that they did that. So it was, and two of them were with the Bears, too, right? So, I mean, it was like the Bears were in cahoots with the Bills with this, jumping ahead of the Jets a couple of times. So, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, and that's one of those things, too, that, you know, a first-time general manager in Darren Mooji, you know, maybe he learns from this experience and in a couple years down the road, this doesn't happen to him. But that's a guy who's been very experienced in Brandon Bean. He knows he's got the Jets ahead of him. He knows what they want, what they're looking for, and he made sure that he got the guys and they didn't.
Yeah, he took that guy, Deion Walker,
from
Kentucky.
Yeah, they got us again.
Yep, they did.
They did get you again. Assuming these players work out, but they took that. The kid is 6'7", 335 pounds out of Kentucky, the defensive tackle. They went defensive tackle, edge rusher, defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Big boys.
Well, they know that they have a great quarterback that can generate points.
That's right.
Now they got to backfill some of this defense and try to get this defense back up to speed and get into the top 10 in terms of rankings.
Yeah. I mean, but that's something when we talk about, all right, first-time head coach, first-time general manager. I know Rick Spielman's there to sort of advise, but you know, I don't know how much he involved he was in the war room, in the draft room. But yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, it looks like a team in a division played you a couple times.
Yeah, they went, by the way, they went three defensive linemen in a row, and then two out of the next three picks were defensive backs. And then they took an offensive tackle and a late-round wide receiver out of Maryland, that kid, Caden Prather.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you're going to have to, when you have a quarterback that's making as much money as Josh Allen does or Joe Burrow does, and you have to spread the cap around and you can't necessarily keep everybody you want, you got to hit in the draft on defensive players.